very excited what we have today. We're going to start this morning with a legend, a gentleman who I consider a dear friend, who I've learned so much from. His name is T. Boone Pickens. Yes. He's been known as the Oil Oracle, because on CNBC, I don't know what his final count was, but I think it was 21 out of 26 picks or 25 picks, he called the price of oil accurately. He's been really wonderful to us. I love this man because he is, many of you met George Bush yesterday and you got a sense of what integrity he has. T. Boone has that same level of straight shooting integrity, and he has ridden the wave of this business. He started with $2,500 and he built the largest independent oil and gas company in the world, Mesa Petroleum. And if you can imagine, at 68 years old, quote, retired, and now at 87 years old, in these last 18 years, he made more money in his, quote, retirement, his new life, than he did in the previous 68 years. Just truly amazing, right? He's also just an extraordinary philanthropist. He's given over $1 billion, just deserves an unbelievable hand for what he's done for different pieces of society. And so we're going to start with him this morning, and he's joining us by Skype. Boone, great to see you.
Good to see you, Tony.
Thank you for joining us. How's life?
It's great. Are you all having fun?
We're having a great time. Listen, you wrote a book, you know, you wrote The First Billion is the Hardest, but one of your books was on the luckiest guy in the world, and we've talked so many times over the years, but this audience really doesn't know. Would you share why you're the luckiest guy in the world, in your opinion?
There are several reasons, but number one is I was the first cesarean birth in Oklahoma in 1928. And my dad had to talk the surgeon into doing it. My mother couldn't deliver, and my dad talked the surgeon. He had never seen a cesarean. He lived in the town 3 years, and they didn't have a surgeon in that town till 50 years later. So wouldn't you say it's pretty lucky to hit a three-year window?
He literally, if I remember you telling me, he literally was looking at the manual, I guess, and doing the surgery on your mom, right? And your dad was told you might lose his wife.
He told my dad, he said, you may have the biggest decision of your life to decide who survives. And my dad said, no, said, you're not but an inch from that baby. And he said, you can deliver me. He said, well, I've got two pictures and a page and a half to go on. My dad said, you can do it. And by golly, he did it.
Okay. That's awesome.
I've been lucky other times too in life. You said I left Mesa when I was 68 years old in 1996. And I have paid in taxes after I was 70. I've paid $700 million approximately in taxes. After I left Mesa. I didn't like it when the President Obama said that wealthy people weren't paying their fair share. And I said, okay, tell me, what is my fair share?
So, well, almost $750 million in taxes after 68. That's pretty amazing. That shows your productivity. Tell us, this whole group is, there's a mix of sophistication in this room. There are people very sophisticated, do huge billion-dollar deals, and there are people kind of just beginning their economic journey. Tell us a little bit about your beliefs about money, because you've prospered so well. You've worked your tail off, and you've done it for decade after decade. But what are your beliefs about money you think might be different than other people's?
I don't know that it is. I've struggled the last 3 years, and actually given away more now than I'm worth.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe you should have waited and given it when you died. But I wanted to give it and see what happened with it. It was whether we were successful on, and a lot of it's medical research, and also a lot was given to Oklahoma State University. Yes. But I feel like I got my money's worth.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you gave, what, $700 million to your alma mater, is that right?
No, it's a little over $500.
Oh, $500 million. Boone actually gave away more than his net worth. So he gave away $1 billion, and then things fluctuate. But, you know, we talked to last year and you were saying that you're going to get that money back. Is that right?
Yeah, but I haven't done it yet. And I'm 87. You're running out of time. But I was with my doctor yesterday and he said, well, you're going to live to be 110. So.
Well, we're thrilled about that, Boone. That's awesome. You know, the financial world is such an interesting world where integrity doesn't seem to be a very large commitment, unfortunately, a lot of the largest organizations in the world. And one of the things I've always loved about you is not only your straight shooting, but the level of integrity. Would you share with people the story you shared with me about when you were a child and you were working your paper route and you found that wallet and what you learned from that through your mom?
It was my grandmother.
Oh, it was your grandmother. That's right.
It was my grandmother. Yes, I had a paper out, and I was 12 years old, and it was the first paper route I had. It was 28 papers, and I made net a penny a day per paper, so I was making 28 cents a day. Well, that was 1940. Let me tell you, 40 was, you were in the Depression at the time. But it didn't mean anything to me because I didn't have anything to compare it to. I never missed any meals and I always had a pair of shoes. But I made 28 cents a day. And, you know, 4 days, that's over a dollar. And I didn't spend much money. And so I always had money in my pocket from that first paper out. But I came in one day, and it was in summer of 1940, and my grandmother, my aunt, and my mother were sitting on the screen-in porch at my grandmother's house. She lived next door to us. We all ate supper together at her house. Everybody had a job, thank goodness. And so anyway, I came in, and I was pretty pumped up because I found a wallet on my paper route and returned it to the owner. And he gave me a dollar for finding the wallet. And I was pretty excited because that was 4 days, income off my route, the equivalent of. And anyway, I was pretty happy about it and started telling my grandmother, aunt, and mother all about it. And they were all shaking their head no while I was talking. And I couldn't believe it. And they were telling me, no, that ain't going to work. So finally, when I got through, my grandmother said, well, Sonny said, you need to return the money to Mr. White. I said, we're not going to pay somebody to be honest. I said, no, no, he wants me to have it. So I went to my pitch again to him. And she said, no, go back over there. And so I got on my bike, went back, gave him the dollar, and he said, no, I wanted you to have it. And I said, I know, but my grandmother said we're not going to be paid to be honest. And so now it started to rain, and I was, half a mile from home, and I started back. And when I got to Burgess Street, it was a drainage ditch for the small town I was in. It was about armpit deep. And so I pushed my bicycle across and I got home and I looked like a drowned rat, but I wanted to, because I wanted my mother, grandmother, aunt to feel sorry for me. So I almost drowned going across Burgess Street. And my grandmother, she didn't cut any slack. And she said, well, if you'd have gone when I told you to, said you'd been back before it rained. So, that's about how far you got with those three women. They didn't, when they made up their mind, they meant it.
That's beautiful. Tell me something. You know, you started your company with $2,500. How did you build Mesa Petroleum into the largest independent oil and gas firm in the world?
Well, you say in the world, it was, there weren't any independent oil companies around the world. They were mostly all in the United States. And that was in a period that I had a lot of good things happen. I made an acquisition of a company, Houston Production Company, which had 3 trillion cubic feet of gas. And it was, I had some real breaks at that time, and it worked out that way. Mesa later had tough going. We made that acquisition in 1969, and then we merged with a company, Parker Parsley, in 1996 when I was 68 years old. And that company now is Pioneer Natural Resources, and which is a big oil company.
Right. Tell me, you know, you look at the world today, you care so much about this country, and you created the Pickens Plan. I remember years ago when we first started spending a little time with you, you'd spend $100 million to help promote alternative forms of fuel to help us get off the dependency on the Middle East. At that time, I don't know, it was $10 trillion. I don't know what the number was. Tell me how you feel today about how things have changed because of technology and the amount of natural gas and oil that we have available that now seems to supersede what they even see in Saudi Arabia. Where are we today versus then? And where are you in your version of the Pickens Plan and looking at alternative energy or promoting it?
Well, I feel like we were successful, but not completely, because I would have liked to have had an energy plan for the country. And we almost got it passed. We missed by 3 votes in the Senate.
Yes.
And it was, but they're a lot better informed about natural gas today than they were at that time. So I feel like we didn't get exactly what we wanted, but we made real progress. But the United States has natural gas, which is, 80 times cleaner than oil. And we have natural gas for over 100 years. And so all that happened after I was working on the Pickens Plan. I didn't cause it to happen, but it was kind of coincident with the plan I was trying to sell to Congress. Yes. But it's, America today, I mean, we were, like you say, we were really spending a lot of money on foreign oil. We were importing at that time from the Mideast about 7 million barrels. Today, we import from the Mideast a little over 1 million barrels. So
that's amazing.
It is amazing. And our production in the United States, oil production, had declined from 1970, 10 million barrels a day, we had declined to 4 million. Then, due to horizontal drilling and fracking, we brought production back up to 9.7 million a day. Okay. And that was a huge difference. We still were the biggest user of oil in the world. We're using 20 million barrels a day, and we're importing a little over half of it. But the biggest part of our imports come from Canada and some from Mexico. So those are neighboring countries, much better than bringing it from the Mideast.
For sure. What a difference. You once said to me, you said that you were made to make money and to generously share it. Where did that belief come from?
I don't know. I like to make money. And I like to give it away. And I've MD Anderson Hospital, the number one cancer hospital in the world. I've been my gift there was $50 million.
Yes.
And Salvation Medical here in Dallas, I gave $50 million to that. Those are both institutions of the University of Texas. And I didn't go to the University of Texas. In fact, I tried out in 1947 for a basketball scholarship. Can you believe that? 5'9" and white. Don't see many of those guys playing basketball. But I tried out at the University of Texas, and then I did go to Texas A&M on a basketball scholarship in 47. I transferred to Oklahoma State the next year. But I struggled to make it in college basketball. But University of Texas institutions, they have MD Anderson Hospital and Southwestern Medical. So those are UT institutions.
If you were back in your early 20s and you were getting in the energy business, where would you put your focus? Where would you put your investment? Where would you put your energy?
Am I 20 years old in 2016?
Yep.
Or taking me back when I was 20 years old, that would be...
No, 2016. In the world we're in today, if somebody was 20 years old and they were going to put their focus or energy on building in the energy business or investing in energy business, where would you guide them? Where would you coach them to focus?
Well, I've spoken I spoke over to SMU the other day, and it was 2 years ago, but I was speaking to junior, senior level geologists and petroleum engineers. And I said, you students have picked the right place to focus is the energy business, and you'll do well. If I was over there today, would I say the same thing? I think that's kind of the question. Would talking to, students over there were 22 years old, and would I say you have made the right choice? I would. I'd say you made the right choice, but bear in mind, since 1980, five times the price of oil has been cut in half.
Wow.
So this isn't something that I have, it's not my first rodeo. I've seen this before, and oil price will come back, and you will have, demand will continue to go up. It's what's going to happen. You're going to use fossil fuels for the next 50 to 100 years.
Wow.
And I'll probably be wrong on that statement, but I won't be around for you to say to me, you're wrong. When you're using 95 million barrels a day for the world, and 70% of that's going to transportation fuel, then you're going to be using gasoline, diesel, natural gas, and you'll use a battery. And somebody said the other day, well, hydrogen, I think hydrogen's a little far out, but all those are used for transportation fuel. The only two that'll move an 18-wheeler is diesel and natural gas. Gasoline, ethanol, they won't do it. Battery, you can't move an 18-wheeler on a battery. And so there's a lot of things that are going to be solved, but energy is going to be huge, and it's getting bigger all the time. But we're going to use more wind. We'll use solar. All those, I'm for any form of energy. I don't care what it is. And I'm not a guy that's against coal. I think you're going to use coal too. Hmm.
Other questions from the audience? Yes.
Mr. Pickens, thank you so much for joining us. Who were your influencers or mentors in business?
Well, when I got out of school, I was a geologist. So I was headed for the oil industry. And my father was in the oil industry at that time. He worked for a company, Phillips Petroleum, which is now ConocoPhillips. And I worked for Phillips when I got out of school. So I got a good education. I was a hard worker, and I worked for a good company. And consequently, I was well-trained and from there. Mentors came to me more by reading and watching what went on in the oil industry. I was not watching other industries. I mean, if you today want to talk to me about Amazon or tech companies, the conversation would be very brief because you'd run out of my knowledge in just a few minutes. I haven't focused on that, but I can talk to the oil industry, gas, natural gas, and energy. I can talk to you all night about it if you want to do that. But where were my mentors? They were, they were people that were running those companies. I watched how they operated and learned a lot just by the performance of those companies.
That's beautiful. One more question. You've been addicted to fitness. Yeah, I think it was, if I remember right, 1979, you built the first really huge corporate fitness center for your employees. We had, 30,000 square foot place you built. Are you still focused on fitness in your life, even at this stage of life?
I've got the same trainer for 27 years.
Wow.
I've worked out 4 days this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I work out at 6:30 in the morning. And there's no question at 87 years old that my fitness routine has been a real asset to me. But Tuesday of this week, I did legs and I did 300 yards of lunges.
Wow.
And
Jesus. That's incredible.
I did it in three sets of 100 yards each time. Today, I did squats on the ball, and I did 200 squats in four sets, so 50.
That's incredible. Wow.
I don't have any soreness in my legs. My legs get tired, but no soreness. And I did the treadmill every morning at I'm now do 12 degrees and speed 3.7. And I don't do, my wife is on there. She gets on at 5:30 in the morning. I get on at 6:30. She goes 1 hour, 4 miles at 10 degrees.
Wow.
So, and so she works out hard. I do too. But I know this. So I said, well, you're a fitness buff. No, I'm not either. I don't want to get old and feel bad. And I had to bury one of my friends 2 weeks ago. Mm. And so I want to hang around as long as I can. This is all too much fun to check out if you don't have to.
Boone, you are a national treasure. We are grateful for you. You're such an example. You're such a humble man for all that you've contributed to society. And I just want to personally thank you. And I'm going to, last year, I think I told you I was donating 100 million meals. We did 102 million meals. I'm going to do it again this year. And we're going to donate 1 million meals in your name tomorrow. So thank you for your time again. I love you dearly, dear friend. Big hand for Boone Dickens.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. Yeah.